land.
I met a gentle stranger who took me by the hand. And then I heard him whisper, I heard him call my name. And I knew with all my heart and soul I'd nevermore be the same.
Well, I
won't turn back no more till I reach heaven's shore. My Lord is walking with me. I know he's talking with me. He said he'd hold my hand till I reach promised land. And I won't give up, I won't turn back, but I'll keep pressing on.
He'll help me cross the valley and climb the mountain tall.
He'll never let me stumble. He'll never let me fall, fall, fall. I need to stay beside him until I reach heavenly ground. I won't look to the left, look to the right, nevermore turn around.
Well, I
won't turn back no more till I reach heaven's shore. My Lord is walking with me. I know he's talking with me. He said he'd hold my hand till I reach the promised land. And I won't give up, I won't turn back, but I'll keep pressing on.
Well, I
won't turn back no more till I reach heaven's shore.
My Lord
is walking with me,
and
I know he's talking with me. He said he'd hold my hand till I reach the promised land.
And I
won't give up, I won't turn back, but I'll keep pressing on and on and on.
Amen. I like that, guys. That's a blessing. Jephthah said, I've opened my mouth, I will not go back. I remember when those boys were just junior high boys singing out on the front porch. That's where they got their start. And amen. Open your Bibles tonight to Matthew chapter 7. Matthew chapter 7. This will be the third sermon in a four sermon series entitled How to Successfully Destroy Your Home. How to successfully destroy your home. I have chosen to approach it in the negative aspect because it will be more familiar to some of you than if I dealt with a positive aspect and you not be familiar with it at all. Well, all right, having found your place in Matthew chapter 7, stand with me out of love and respect for the Word of God, and I'm going to read some verses from other passages before I get here to Matthew chapter 7. Psalm 127:3. Listen on purpose. Lo, children are a heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is His reward. Proverbs 22:6. Train up a child in the way he should go, and when he is old, he'll not depart from it. Exodus chapter 20, verse 12. Honor thy father and thy mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. Ephesians 6, 1, 2, and 3. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and thou mayest live long on the earth. So here the promise of Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, is reemphasized and stated again for us in the New Testament concerning honoring our father and our mother. We've read to you some simple verses dealing with our children and their relationship to God and our relationship to them and responsibility to them and their responsibility to parents. Now then, the Bible says in Matthew chapter 7, verse 24, therefore, whosoever heareth these sayings of mine and doeth them, I will liken him unto a wise man, which built his house upon a rock, and the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew, and beat upon the house, and it fell not, for it was founded upon a rock. And every one that heareth these sayings of mine, and doeth them not, shall be likened unto a foolish man, which built his house upon the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the winds blew and beat upon the house, and it fell. And great was the fall of it. Heavenly Father, help me tonight as we look at the third message in this series on how to successfully destroy our home, our marriage, our family. And again, Heavenly Father, as I survey the congregation, some of the people who have been heaviest on my heart, who need this message and the others most, have again made the choice not to be here so they could get the help they desperately need. God, I ask you tonight, help us to be wiser and help us to listen on purpose, to learn the truths and principles stated and put them into practice in our life. Help us to realize preaching and teaching is not just for entertainment. It's to impart truth. It is given to us, and the teaching and the preaching, for enlightenment, if for truth that the Holy Spirit might do His work in our heart and life, and that we might make decisions in our life that will affect our walk for you in a positive way. Now, Lord, I need your help tonight. I do want to be a blessing. I do want to be a help. I'm not interested in just preaching a sermon, but I do want to give information and scripture and help that will strengthen our homes, that will help our marriages, and that would save our children from a life of waste and hurt and worthlessness. Now, Lord, fill me with Thy Holy Spirit and speak through me. And I'll thank you in advance for the work you shall do tonight in our hearts. I ask you to save unsaved people that might be here tonight. I ask you to bring great conviction upon husbands and wives and moms and dads and children that are not living according to the principles of your word. And I pray tonight we might make some decisions and commitments to you that will result in a life of change, a life of commitment, a life of dedication, a life of rebuilding our marriage and rebuilding our homes in a Bible way so that they will stand the test of the storms that will come. Now help me tonight, and we'll thank you in advance for what you shall do in Jesus' name. Amen. You may be seated. Thus far in this series, I've brought two messages on the subject, how to successfully destroy your home. The first message dealt with family members not accepting their God-given place of responsibility within the family. I talked specifically about daddies and husbands who would not take the leadership in their homes. I talked about mothers and wives who sought to wrestle the leadership of the home away from the husband and dominate the family instead of being a loving mother and a submissive wife. I spoke about children under that heading who were allowed to rule over their parents. Each of these three things will destroy a home. It'll destroy a marriage. Then in the second message on the same subject, we talked about how that maintaining improper relationship and priorities within the family circle would certainly destroy one's home and family. I talked about the fact that we must love God first. Not second, third, or fourth, but our love and our relationship with God and love for God must be first before anything else. We talked about the husband and wife relationship, Their love for one another must be second only to their love for God. We talked about the parents' relationship with the children coming only after God and after the husband and wife relationship. Someone said, I don't understand that. We've got to put our children first. Well, you're going against the Word of God. And besides that, you're a fool. You're sowing the seeds that will result in the destruction of your marriage and will hurt your children in days to come. No matter what you do, your children are going to grow up. They're going to leave home. God intended the husband and wife to continue to be husband and wife after the kids grew up and left home. But if we put them first, then and live for them when they leave home, the one we're to be loving and living for, and the one that's supposed to be in the proper place of priority is not going to be there. You'll look at husband and wife and kids are gone. God's not in first place. Husband and wife love relationships, not in the second place. The kids are gone now. And you look at each other and you're strangers and you don't know how to treat one another. You don't know what to do with your time. You don't know how to live together anymore. That's the reason marriage after marriage ends after 20 and 18, 19, 20, 21 years. The kids leave home and they're strangers, and they're strangers because their relationship within the family circle and their priorities in the family circle were out of kilter biblically. After God and after husband and wife relationship and after children, then comes our job, then comes our other family members. And last is pleasure in that order of priorities. Now tonight I want to point out to you another major area of that causes great hurt and problems within the marriage, within the family, and with the home. And this results in our successfully destroying our home. Let me emphasize that when I say home, I do not mean one's house or place of residence. I'm referring specifically to your family relationship and to your marriage. And when I refer to family, I am not referring only to wife and children or husband and children. Because the Bible tells us we're to be concerned about the future generations of our children, grandchildren, great-grandchildren, and great-great-grandchildren that will be affected by our actions, whether they're good or whether they're bad. Listen to the Word of God. In Exodus chapter 20, in the God giving the Ten Commandments, He tells us that thou shalt not make unto thee any graven image. And in that verse number 4, we're not to bow down to them, make any image, any statue or image of any likeness in heaven or on earth and so forth. And then in verse 5 and 6, God goes on to say in reference to that, thou shalt not bow down thyself to them, that's the images, nor serve them, for I, the Lord thy God, am a jealous God, visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and fourth generation of them that hate me, and showing mercy unto thousands of them that love me and keep my commandment. Now, if you don't understand, third and fourth generation is great-grandchildren and great-great-grandchildren. So the way you raise your children now is going to have an effect upon your children, your grandchildren, your great-grandchildren, and your great-great-grandchildren. Three and four generations are going to be affected. So go ahead, blow it with your kids. It's not just your kids you're hurting. You're hurting their kids, and their kids' kids, and their kids' kids' kids. That's what God said. And I believe God. You say, but that has to do, we're not going to bow down to idols. Well, over in the book of Numbers, chapter 14 and verse number 18. Listen to what the Bible says. The Lord is long-suffering and of great mercy, forgiving iniquity and transgressions, and by no means clearing the guilty, but visiting the iniquity of the fathers upon the children unto the third and the fourth generation. The way we raise our children, serious business with God. So my life and the decisions I make in my life and the way I build my family is going to affect my marriage, my children, my grandchildren, my great-grandchildren, and my great-great-grandchildren. My decisions and the way I raise my family can result in the blessings of God or the judgment of God upon my offspring to the third and the fourth generation. You better think seriously about it. Serious business in bringing children into this world. It's serious business when we get married. Getting married is not just a lot of fun in the bedroom. Getting married is serious business with God. It's not something to be trifled with or taken lightly. It's going to affect people for generations after you're gone. Now look with me tonight at an area that vitally affects every family here in this service tonight. Number one, parents who think their children are different and do no wrong are successfully destroying their families. Now you may not like to hear that your child was wrong. You may not like to hear that your child did something they ought not do. You may be so filled with pride you don't want them to get right about it because you'd be embarrassed. Well, you're a fool. Parents who think their children are different and do no wrong are successfully destroying their family. Being in subjection to authority is important to our peace and our happiness in every area of our life and family. The authority in matters of government, in the executive and legislative and judicial branch of government, is the Constitution of the United States. Law enforcement and law courts simply invoke and uphold this authority. It is not their duty to discern the intent of the farmers or signers of the Constitution. It is their purpose simply to make laws and make judgments according to the law in view of the authority of the Constitution and a higher authority, this blessed book. The Constitution and the laws that are made come from the Constitution are our authority as Americans. This book is our authority as Americans and as Christians. Our authority in all matters of faith and practice in the Christian life is the Word of God. When there's something doctrinally, something morally, something that we have question about and disagreements about, we appeal to the Word of God, and the Word of God speaks and settles it. God said it, that settles it. You say, preacher, I'm not that narrow-minded. Then your eyes are too far apart on your head. You're dumber than a rock. A Christian, and you're not going to let the Bible be the final rule of authority in your life. You're not going to have any consistency. You're not going to have any faith. You're not going to have doctrine upon which you can build your life. If you've got to approve of every teaching and every doctrine that comes out of the Word of God, there's a whole generation of people today saying, well, I don't think it's wrong to me because I'm not convicted of it. That's one of the most stupid statements a man or woman can make. Whether it's right or wrong is not determined by whether you're convicted of it. It's right or wrong, and the right or wrong of it is determined by how God feels about it. And God states it plainly in His Word. It's the final rule of authority. The Bible is the supreme court of the Christian life. If you have a problem of law and a disagreement and you go to court and you appeal it and it ends up in the Supreme Court, after it gets to the Supreme Court of the United States, it can go no further. It is settled. There's no further appeal. In spiritual matters, the Bible is the Supreme Court. We appeal to the Word of God and you can go no further. God's Word gives authority to different individuals in the social, the Christian, and the family structure in order that we might teach and direct those under our authority. And doing so, we are to do so so that we and they might know how to walk in the perfect will of God and have peace and fellowship with one another and with God. Can't walk together unless there's agreement. And by the way, I hear people all the time say, we need to come together. We need to come together. All religions need to come together on the basis of love. Oh, my dear friend, love is not the basis of fellowship. Truth is the basis of fellowship. You can't walk together if one holds baptism by works or baptism by sprinkling and the other holds baptism by immersion. You can't come together when one believes that salvation is by grace and the other by works. Unity and fellowship's on the basis of truth. And God's Word is truth in the realm of spiritual things. In the home, God has placed the responsibility and the authority upon the parents in general and the father in particular, to raise up our children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. God directs the children to recognize and obey this authority for their own good health, for their own happiness, and for their own future. Ephesians 6, 2 and 3 is the New Testament recounting Exodus chapter 20, verse 12, honor thy father and mother, that thy days may be long upon the land which the Lord thy God giveth thee. God is saying the child that doesn't honor mom and dad can have a shortened life. Now, you say, I don't believe that. You don't believe the Bible then. We must admit that our children are made out of the same clay and dust we're made of. They have our genetics. They have the same weaknesses, the same frailties, the same shortcomings that their parents have. Now, you don't like that, do you? Because your children are Mr. and Miss Perfect. But they're not. Apples don't fall far from their tree. You look at your children, and in their actions and in their spirit, you're going to see a reflection of your own self, where you are right now in your walk and relationship with God. You want to know what God says all of our children are and what they're like? Turn over just quickly to Romans chapter 3. Romans chapter 3. We don't like this, but we need to be made aware of it again and again. We need to remember those things we've already been taught. Verse number 10 in Romans 3, as it is written, there's none righteous, no, not one. No, your little kid, after they get to the age of understanding, are not acceptable to God because they're so sweet and so good and so cute. They're sinners. There's none that understandeth. There's none that seeketh after God. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Their throat is an open sepulcher. Not my little kid. You're a fool. If you listen to some of your children talk when they're with their worldly carnal buddies that you let them run with, you'd be surprised what they say. You'd be surprised at their talk and their language. They're all gone out of the way. They're all together become unprofitable. There's none that doeth good. Their throat is an open sepulcher. And with their tongue they've used deceit. Not my child. My child's never lied to me. If you believe that, you're dangerous. You ought not be left out on your own. With their tongues they've used deceit. The poison of asp is under their lips, whose mouth is full of cursing and bitterness. Their feet are swift to shed blood. Destruction and misery are in their way, and the way of peace they know not. There's no fear of God before their eyes. You know, we've just come through a time in society when one of the theme of the rebel young people was no fear, no fear, no fear. They're saying, I'm a fool, look at me, no fear. Now we know that what things soever the law saith, it saith to them who are under the law, that every mouth may be stopped, and all the world become guilty before God. May I say to you, my dear friend, that's not only a summary of your children and my children after they reach the age of understanding, that's a summary of me and you. Without Jesus Christ, that's a summary of our life. Now listen carefully. In spite of the Word of God, many times parents set themselves up in direct opposition to God and say that their children are different than other children. How sad and destructive it is when parents side with their children against authority over their children. I'm talking about authority such as teachers and police and preachers and youth pastors. An illustration of this. Maybe a year and a half ago, there appeared in our newspapers and over our news broadcast the story of a 12-year-old boy who went to school in the public schools drunk. He vomited in his classroom and passed out in the classroom. The school authorities suspended the student. And the parents got upset and opposed the school's decision and defended their drunk son, saying that the school was too harsh and hard on their little boy. That's the best way I know to destroy your kid. When they do wrong, you take up for them. When they're wrong against authority that's trying to correct them, you just wills to take a gun and shoot them because you're destroying your children. You're hurting your children. Let me tell you what you're doing. You're saying, son, don't worry about the authorities. We're not going to accept anybody's responsibility over you but me. And what they do is say, well, Daddy, if I don't have to mind that authority, I don't have to mind you either. I don't have to obey the laws of the land and obey the police. I don't have to obey my Sunday school teacher. And I don't have to listen to the preacher. And I don't even have to obey God. And when you stand against authority and take up for the wrong of your children. You are destroying them, and you'll live to regret the day that you did it. You better keep a box of Kleenex handy. You better keep a lot of towels handy, because you're going to weep a river of tears. Be sure you know and understand that your children and mine will go as far as we allow them to go. They'll act in accord to the way we have trained them as parents. And they'll do worse than we trained them. You see, there is a pull of depravity, of sinfulness in every one of us. Even if you're saved, that old nature and that old carnality and that old world is always battling against you, trying to pull you back away from the Bible and the will of God and the work of God, trying to get you back into the world. And if you're not training your children to live by the principles of the Word of God and to respect authority, you're training them to rebel against God and to rebel against authority. Training requires us setting boundaries. Training requires us to teach the principles that have to do with those boundaries. They need to know that the Word of God speaks to that as being wrong and why it's wrong. There needs to be penalties if the child disobeys. They need to have a constant and consistent example live before them by their authorities. That's mom and dad and teachers and preachers. Strong love and careful discipline is necessary to save the life and the future of our children and train them up in the proper way. When you're dealing with your children, when you're training your children, when you're correcting your children, you're not hurting them, you're saving their life. You're giving them an opportunity for a future. Listen to the Word of God. Proverbs 23:13-14. And may I say to you, the secular world hates this. Modern society hates this. Withhold not correction from the child, for if thou beatest him with a rod. Now that's not talking about abuse. It's talking about child discipline biblically and correctly. If thou beatest him with a rod, he shall not die. Thou shalt beat him with a rod and shall deliver his soul from hell. That's what God's Word said. Parents who give in to rebellious children's demands usually don't want to be bothered with them and are looking for the easy way out. But the easy way will bring you tons of heartaches and rivers of tears. It's better to take this warning. If you care about your children and your marriage and about their future, and about their peace and happiness in days to come, you better take it seriously tonight. It's serious business getting married and bringing children into this world. Why do you suppose the Lord uses such words as train up and bring up in reference to our responsibility to our children? Because it's not a one-hour job. It's not a one-day job. It's not a one-year job. From the time they're born until they leave home as mature young adults, young men and women, you're going to spend 18, 19, sometimes 20 years, and you needed a few more on some of them. It implies to a constant consistent, continual process over years to train them and bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. It has much to do with discipline, love, and consistency over a long period of time from that child's birth until their maturity, and many times until their marriage. Now let me conclude. When we ignore and disregard these simple truths in reference to our children, then several things will occur. When we ignore or disregard these truths in reference to our children, several things will occur. Number one, we have placed ourselves in contradiction and perhaps even in willful rebellion to God's direct, inerrant, and unchanging word. And my dear friend, that is dangerous living. Secondly, when we ignore and disregard these truths in regard to our children, we're showing that we do not know how to love our children as we should. Are you questioning my love? Yes! If you're allowing them to live in rebellion and sin without correction from mom and dad. I'll prove it from the Word of God. Hebrews 12:6, for whom the Lord loveth, He chasteneth and scourgeth every son whom He receiveth. Proverbs 13:24, he that spareth his rod hateth his son, but he that loveth him chasteneth him betimes. That word betimes means every time he needs it. When we ignore and disregard these truths in regard to our children, then we're raising up a generation who will break our hearts and will rebel against God. And lastly, when we ignore these truths and disregard them in reference to our children, we are successfully destroying our children and our home. God intends for our home to be a little heaven on earth, not a place of war, not a place of battles, not a place where Satan seems to be enthroned. I said the other night, when we think about home and mom and dad, if mom and dad has done their job well and done it right, we'll have remembrances of love and warmth and care. We'll have remembrances of God. If mom and dad has not done their job right, and boys and girls will remember home as a place of hurt and tears and rebellion and anguish. It's our choice. Nobody's going to raise our children for us. And let me say, mom and dad, you ought to have your children in church. But it doesn't mean train up a child in the way that they should go by bringing them to Sunday school and they'll never depart from it. It means that you have a responsibility. And that responsibility is not Sunday morning at 10 o'clock and 11 o'clock and Sunday night. That responsibility is every day of the week and every hour of the day. There is no rest. There's no let up. There's no compromise. There's no change. And the old devil will tempt you to say, man, you're tired. You're tired of fighting, aren't you? Won't you just give in to them? That's not the easy way out. Because when you give in, then you've got to get them out of the mess they'll get themselves in. Your family will suffer and they'll suffer. And the testimony of Christ will suffer. Obey God. Believe His book. Yes, God's for marriage. Yes, God's for children. But God intends for us to have a strong, loving, happy home. And He intends for us to bring up children in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. That means the instructions and teachings of the Word of God and discipline according to the Word of God. And if we don't, we're hurting them. If we don't, we're throwing them to the wolves. You say, well, I wasn't brought up in a home where I had Christian parents and I turned out all right. By the grace of God. Where one person growing up like that gets saved, there are thousands that never do. And even when they do get saved, having grown up in a home contrary to God's word, they struggle throughout their life with character and issues of morality and so on and so on. Most people who get saved before the age of 18 years of age. Stats show that if a person's not saved by age 18, 85% of them never will get saved. It's a terrible thing when more people from heathen countries are getting saved than children in Christian homes. And it's not the fault of the churches, but it's mom and dad who are not living by the word of God. They're destroying their children and they're destroying their home. God help us to come to the Bible. Yield ourselves to His Word. You say, preacher, I don't understand it. You don't have to understand it. Just obey it. Just obey it. You see, I don't understand how God created the heavens and the earth, how He stepped out on nothing and spoke everything into existence. But God says, by faith we believe the worlds were formed by the Word of God. You don't have to understand it. Just believe it. Just believe it. God said it. That ought to settle it. Let's practice it. It's right if God said it. Father, that's our message tonight. Oh God, there's such a need. I think about children that have grown up in this church and have been lost to the world and the devil. Children that started out loving God, but mom and dad did not uphold authority. Mom and dad fought against authority. Thought their child could do no wrong. The end result was the child went totally wrong and broke their hearts. God help us to realize that we have such a small window of opportunity to train our children. Most of the character that's instilled in our children's life is instilled in them between birth and age 12. God, we must not be careless. We must not refuse to put the time in. We're talking about our children. We're talking about the heritage of the Lord. We're talking about generations to come on this earth. And God forbid that when the generations of my great-great-grandchildren are finished, that there are thousands not serving God because I did not do my job as a parent. Speak to our hearts, dear God. Help us to confess to You our sin, our wrong, our weakness, our failures. Help us to commit ourselves to Your Word and learning to live by the principles of the Word of God. How we need You. As we build our families and raise our children, I want them to turn out right. I want our children to bring joy and glory and honor to mom and dad. I want them to bring great joy and glory to God. But that's not going to happen if we don't do our jobs right as parents. Instead of rejoicing, they'll be weeping. And instead of a home that's strong, there'll be heartache and failure and a crumbling marriage and a crumbling home. Speak to our hearts, dear God. While heads are bowed and eyes are closed and no one's looking around, many have already come to the altar.